From WBUR in Boston, it's Weekly Warm-Up, a sampling of the cornucopia of stories and interviews featured on Only a Game, sports public radio style.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.
Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
It is a Saturday afternoon, and I am in Pittsburgh, and I am meeting Jimmy Civetic at his gym at the corner of 3rd Avenue and Ross, except that the cab driver is saying there is no gym at 3rd and Ross, and sitting in the cab, it seems he is correct. And I am wondering why I am in Pittsburgh in late February anyway, which is not such a good time to be many places, but especially Pittsburgh. Then this guy comes out of the door of a place that is closed and is not a gym, and he is moving toward me like a little truck, and he is Jimmy Civetic, who explains why the cab driver is confused no little and quite some.
3rd Avenue Cafe, and it's above the boxing gym, and it's a place where we build champions in life.
Some modest champion building is going on even as Jimmy Civetic tells me about the process. A guy who used to train in the gym downstairs is painting the ceiling of the cafe, meaning that Jimmy will pay him enough so that the guy and the daughter he's raising by himself will have rent money. The walls of the cafe are jammed with photographs of Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Rocky Marciano, and other champions. Halfway through a tour he's giving me, Civetic, who was a police officer and a homicide detective in Allegheny County for more than 30 years before he retired to the cafe, the gym, and various promotional schemes, stops in front of a photo of Roberto Duran, whom Jimmy admires because Duran could skip rope in a squatting position, and for at least one other reason.
You know, he's the only guy I know in boxing and knocked the guy's wife out. When he was first started out, he knocked the guy out, and the woman came in and jumped on his back. He knocked her out.
This is during a fight?
After the fight, after he knocked the guy out. She came in after the fight. He dumped the wife.
Besides the boxers, there are old photographs of legendary pickpockets on one wall of the cafe, a dubious lot, and a poster featuring the poet Charles Bukowski, and more.
Here, my most favorite picture in the house, Cyril Weck. Now, if you don't know who Cyril Weck is, then you don't know anything about homicides. He's the one that first called the Kennedy assassination a conspiracy. And he's right now in retirement because they're saying that he did something wrong. I just know I like him, and I just find him a pretty cool guy in Pittsburgh.
Jimmy and I end our tour at the door, which leaves us nowhere to go but out, and then down the steps to the gym. Even as gyms go, this place is humble. There's room for a ring that's maybe 14 by 14 feet, a heavy bag, some free weights. If one of the boxers were to drop to do push-ups, anybody going anywhere else in the room would have to step over or around him. Inside the ropes, a heavyweight whom Jimmy calls Slava is shadowboxing.
He came down here to the gym.
Yeah?
Now, he came in here and said, I want you to train me. I said, oh, God, let me guess. He's the next great white hope. Well, he came from Russia, Ukraine, Russia.
Russia.
Russia, Russia. And he came down and hit the bag. Almost fell down the steps watching him hit the bag. He's that good.
He's certainly that big. Slava is 22, and he claims he was successful as an amateur in Russia.
I got 35, 28, 1-2 lost. Yeah, and so then I moved over here with my parents and stuff. I always wanted to do boxing, but my coach, the first coach over here, he told me to come down to this gym and talk to Jimmy about if I can training or whatever.
So what's next?
What's next? Trying to turn pro, be a world champion.
Further conversation with Slava is precluded by work, his, not mine. Jimmy has arranged for somebody to climb into the ring with the heavyweight and hold the padded mitts with which trainers feel the fighter's punches.
I'm going to bring in the con. He was in prison for 20 years. He's going to hold the badge for the communists.
The con, to whom Jimmy Civetic refers, is actually an ex-con, a slender black man of 62 named Mehdi Muhammad, though Jimmy prefers to continue knowing him as Larry Chisholm, or Chiz.
But old Chiz, now we have a history. We're connected at the hip.
I grew up on the Hill District area of Pittsburgh, which is one of the highest crime rate areas in the city. Since I was a kid, I spent nearly 48 years of my life in and out of prisons, institutions, out of 62. Not something I'm proud of, but that's the way it was. for the most part, I started boxing when I was 10, 11. And when I reached the age of 25, I was had accomplished so much in boxing that I was ready for a title shot with a gentleman out of Philadelphia named Matthew Saad Muhammad, light heavyweight. And because I was out with some friends celebrating in the car with the wrong people, with the wrong time, with the wrong thing in the car, which was a lot of drugs, we got arrested, and
that was that.
When I got back out, I was 35 years old, 10 to 20 years, and that went on and on and on.
At 51, Mehdi Muhammad decided he'd had enough of jail. He began supporting anti-gang initiatives and working with Jimmy Savidic to encourage youngsters to confine their fighting to the gym. And now, here he was, set to climb into the ring with a man of 22.
Are you going to get in the ring with this guy?
Yes, I'm going to work with him.
All right. You're giving away 40-odd years here.
It's a 62-year-old chronologically, but we're talking about a 25-year-old body. Unlike Jimmy.
There's a thin line between the cop and the con. Really is. I got good breaks in my life, or I could easily fell that way. And if he'd have got the great breaks, he'd have been a great cop. And that's the truth. And then anybody, you know, I met a lot of guys that I went to prison. Hell of a lot more honest than a lot of the people that I met, supposedly they're supposed to be the great pillars of our society.
The ex-cop, the ex-con, and the ex-communist are all men, of course. This gym is essentially a man's place, or a place for boys aspiring to manhood, as Jimmy Savedic defines the term. But on this particular day, perhaps in order to provide me with a fuller sense of his own marvelously varied endeavors, Jimmy has invited a card girl to drop by. The function of a card girl, well, Nikki herself can explain.
Basically, it's at the end of every round, just going and letting everybody know what's going on, the next round coming up, and sometimes girls go out and promote for the boxers or the companies and things like that, so it's a lot of fun.
I'll tell you what, I guess, you know, everybody has these certain dreams to be champion of the world. Of course, everybody would dream they could date one of them little car girls up there. It's part of the youthful ambition.
There you go.
Stops with youth, huh?
Like they say, every man's got another limitations. I just want to meet her grandma, that's all.
As a promoter, self and otherwise, Jimmy Savedic acknowledges few limitations. He writes poetry. He stages not only Golden Gloves bouts, but quasi-theatrical productions. He may soon be promoting Ultimate Fighting, a competition that involves kicking as well as punching and hitting your opponent before he can get off the floor. One of Jimmy's many business cards identifies him as a public relations specialist, but the banner across the top of the card reads, Bail, USA. Despite the sometimes bewildering variety of his past and present pursuits, he clings to a few simple precepts.
Tell you what, I have never yet seen a kid, I lost count of people, I've never arrested a kid with boxing gloves. Okay, they can't be second story men, they can't steal your car, and it's really tough to sit there and smoke a crack pipe with a boxing glove on.
It's a rote endorsement of boxing, but Jimmy Savedic has the experience to back it up.
First kid I arrested 30-some years ago, his little Smith boy, was 13 years old. It was funny because he was afraid and so was I. He grabbed a kid, he scared him, chased him, he was stealing tape deck from a car. So I grabbed him and a knotting ball boy. Both boys are dead now. Smith boy didn't make it till he was 15. He died from an overdose of drugs. And I always felt if I would have done something different. And I always felt maybe that boy will always be immortal to me. He will always be 13 years old for me, and I'll always be holding the back of his belt. And I wish I could have held his belt and dragged him to a gym. I didn't do that.
Hence the cramped premises at the corner of 3rd and Ross in Pittsburgh. Though none of the young men I met that afternoon in February had been dragged to the gym, they came because they believed they had talent and that work would refine that talent into the means for providing a living.
I want to be the light heavyweight champion in the world.
Aaron Soule, 25, has only been coming to Jimmy Savedic's gym for a couple of months, but he believes he'll be ready for a title fight within 5 years. I asked him how he'd come to that conclusion.
Probably because, you know, I tried a lot of other things in life that didn't work out too well, and this is just something that I happen to enjoy doing very much. I love the game of boxing, and just something I happen to be pretty good at.
Asked to assess Aaron Soule's chances, Jimmy Savetic falls back on one of his favorite slogans. He wants everybody in his place to strive to be the champion of his or her own life.
I've watched 1,000 young men come in here, and they dream, and some of them will never be boxers. It's just not going to happen. Not everybody can be a trainer, not everybody can be a announcer, not everybody can be a card girl, but everybody has to be the champion of their own life, because less than that is unacceptable. And that's what we do, build champions in life. And our motto is always for the kids. And that's so important. That's what we do.
Could you hear a little Don King in there? Maybe. King and Jimmy are both smiling in the picture of the two of them that hangs in the cafe. But in Pittsburgh, there are lots of kids and lots of people who are no longer kids who believe they're better off for having made the acquaintance of Jimmy Savetic. Jimmy Savetic continues to teach youngsters to box in Pittsburgh, where he's also promoting shows. He's hoping to entertain the patients at Walter Reed Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland, with an evening of boxing. When I pointed out to him that it's a long haul from Pittsburgh to Bethesda, Jimmy said, "What's a haul when you're hunting for the truth?" My story about the gym on 3rd and Ross won't be featured in this week's program because it got kicked out by Barry Bonds. But the rest of the show will feature some of the best stories we've aired in the past several months, give or take a couple of weeks. We'll revisit Russ Bradford, the basketball coach whose passion for the fiddle led him to a job in Ireland and whose penchant for reading and writing led to a book about his stay there. Also, we'll have a few of the silliest sports stories you may or may not have ever heard, and a look back at the sport of roller figure skating. If your lust for loop circles can't wait until Saturday, we'll have that story in our Friday podcast. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.